Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of Better Living, a show that focuses on people and organizations making a big impact in North Texas. I'm your host, Chris Arnold of 105.3 The Fan. And our first guest is the president of Heritage Oak Cliff, Mr. Travis Lee Moore. How you doing, Travis?
Well, I'm just grand. How are you, Chris?
I'm doing great. It is 4th of July weekend, and we're just checking in on all kinds of different people about anything that might be going on special for 4th of July weekend. Does Heritage Oak Cliff have any plans for 4th of July?
We don't, because we just wrapped up. I'm a little high from last night. We just wrapped up our grant awards celebration.
Oh, so nice.
I'm letting the board have the weekend off because they worked really hard to put that together last week.
Fantastic. Tell us about Heritage Oak Cliff for those who may not be familiar with your organization.
Well, who might that include? Everybody knows us. I'm teasing. Heritage Oak Cliff, we are an umbrella organization that exists, obviously, in Oak Cliff that helps all of the neighborhood associations get up and running, practice good governance, help them run their neighborhood to be more effective and to reach out to more people. We do one huge fundraiser every October in the form of a tour of homes that raises anywhere. We've done on a slow year about 25 grand and on a good year about 60 grand. And we turn around and give those monies back to the neighborhoods in the form of grants. That's our big life's blood event that we do.
Now, you mentioned the tour of homes. I used to live in Kessler Park for 13 years. Kessler Parks has some amazing, you talk about Heritage Oak Cliff, homes that were built. My house was built in the 1950s, and then the home we lived in there before was built in 1939. So they got some really amazing architecture, and the topography in North Oak Cliff is absolutely amazing. Am I talking about the same tour?
You are talking about the same tour. And yes, those are exactly the kind of homes we like to have on tour. And I'm kind of a stickler about North Oak Cliff and South Oak Cliff. I think it's Oak Cliff.
Yes, yeah, it's all the same. Yeah, it's put like this.
Yeah, we've been a little north centric in the past. So we've made great strides in getting some of the great properties that are further south on the tour as well.
That is fantastic. The tour is absolutely amazing. It's coming up in October. And again, you stop and visit all these different amazing homes. Sometimes you have a little wine and cheese and setups over there. And it's just an amazing thing because you pass by, especially the homes near Stevens Park Golf Course, you pass by them and you go, this is absolutely amazing. But you mentioned in South Oak Cliff, there's some amazing homes as well, right over there by Golf Club of Dallas, over there in Redbird.
Absolutely. Off of Redbird Lane, there are some fantastic homes. You never know what you're going to find in Oak Cliff. There's a standard lot, standard lot, standard lot, and then you find there's this amazing mid-century modern that was built in 1957 that somebody bought 10 years ago and has redone. And we find it, we go knock on the door and go, hey, would you like to be on our tour?
So when you talk about Oak Cliff, does that include the area where Dallas Baptist University is and the Potter's House? Was that considered West Dallas or Grand Prairie?
You know, if you ask any two residents of Oak Cliff what are the borders, you're going to get different answers from everybody. We try sort of play with I-30 as the northern border, I-20 as the southern border. I-35, although that's in question, is sort of the eastern border. And then Loop 12, Ledbetter, would be the western border. Now, we still do things like in West Dallas above I-30.
Right.
We still champion projects like we are trying to save that old metal building plant from the wrecking ball. We go outside those parameters all the time. So do we go as far as DBU? We probably could, maybe. Potter's House? Yeah, probably. But it, like I say, if you ask any two or three people, you're going to get a different answer. Where the exact borders of Oak Cliff?
Put it like this: people who live in that area, they know. It may be some fringe areas, but we know, they know. And I bring up the Potter's House and Dallas Baptist University because overlooking that lake is spectacular. I mean, that we were talking about topography and beautiful and homes. That is some beautiful countryside right there.
And it's largely undiscovered. People know it's there, but they don't. I mean, there's some fantastic properties there.
Yes. So back to Heritage Oak Cliff. When did you get involved with it? Travis Lee Moore, he's the president of Heritage Oak Cliff. How long have you been a part of Heritage Oak Cliff, and what drew you to it?
So I moved into – I was living in Deep Elm in a wonderful old loft about 2014. And I'm a real estate agent when I'm not, you know, playing president for Heritage Oak Cliff. And we found a fantastic house down by Bishop Dunn High School in a great neighborhood called Oak Park Estates about 2015. I had been to parties in Oak Cliff, but I really didn't know much about what was going on down here. We bought this house, and I just fell in love with the people. You know, Bishop Arts is one destination, but there's so much more going on. But I have just fallen in love with the whole thing. Met some folks in my neighborhood, and the next thing you know, I was being voluntold that I would get involved with Heritage Oak Cliff. And my first position was as vice president of grants, which is a big thing to jump into as your maiden voyage. That grants program is a lot of moving parts and a lot. So I've been here since 2015. I've served as vice president of grants, vice president of membership, and then I got asked to be president, which was maybe on my 5 or 10 year plan, but it came around a lot quicker than I expected.
So you're talking about the grants and whatnot. How do people apply for these grants? Because again, every organization, especially nonprofits, they survive off of grants.
Exactly. So we have member neighborhoods, and so there are probably, I don't know, again, you'll get different answers depending on who you ask. There are probably 50 neighborhoods or so in Oak Cliff.
Winnetka
about
Heights.
30 of them. Yes, all of those. Winnetka Heights, Wynwood, Oak Park Estate, Keith Park, all of those. We can claim about 30 of them as heavily involved, and actually about 15 have current memberships. So we ask that you be a current member neighborhood to apply for a grant, and then your neighborhood representative and whoever else is a part of your leadership team in your neighborhood pulls together this grant application, and that the submission process starts at the beginning of the year. They get turned in around May. And like I said, we just last night announced the award winners. We gave out $25,000 last night to, gosh, probably 6 or 8 different neighborhoods, which I'm so proud of, because that's coming off the pandemic. And so our home tour went dark for a year. And then last year, we were still, you know, a little pandemic-ish. So we did something different than a home tour called Passport Oak Cliff, which was more outdoor-centric as opposed to having people in confined spaces because of the pandemic.
Nice move.
So proud that we were still able to give out that money last night after having been dark for a year.
What was the occasion like? Give me an idea what the atmosphere was like since everybody was back together again for the first time in a long time.
It's very celebratory. Are you familiar with the Turner House?
Yes, I am.
Oh, so Turner House is another great sister organization, the Oak Cliff Society of Fine Arts. Is out
yes.
There. And we hosted the party there, had about 50, 60 people there for, you know, wine and cheese and just laughing and telling stories in about an hour. And then we got into the presentations of these awards. And I get a little choked up about it, because watching these folks, because they work hard on these applications, and they're really dedicated to their neighborhoods, and they're repairing sidewalks, and they're planting trees,
right,
and they're painting buildings, and they're doing all these things that just really make the fabric of Oak Cliff just so rich. They're so dedicated and passionate about what they do. It's really a great time.
You mentioned all the different neighborhoods. Like you said, there's 50 of them, literally. You mentioned Keys Park. By the way, shout out to Bishop Dunn. Again, my kids went to Bishop Dunn. Go Falcons. And
yeah, that's my neighborhood.
Exactly. Well, and it's, like I said, there's great topography there. I always talk about topography because some people just think in North Texas, everything's flat. And Oak Cliff is got so many hills and so many cliffs. I mean, literally.
I don't know why you would live anywhere else. I make fun of my friends that live up like in Frisco and stuff. because the developer will go up there and just scrape the trees off of a flat piece of land and build houses, and they plant saplings, and it's years before it becomes anything close to Oak Cliff. I don't know why you wouldn't want to be down here where we have these fantastic Coombs Creek and Five Mile Creek and ancient trees and fabulous old homes. Yeah, I love this place.
5 Mile, you just conjured up some memories right there. 5 Mile, that area is just absolutely beautiful. The trees up high and the houses down low. Another note, this is just to let people know more about Oak Cliff. I found out when we moved to Kessler Park, and we moved when I got married. I used to had a townhouse in Uptown, and we moved to Kessler Park because we had kids. Well, I found out that Kessler Park is named after a guy named George Kessler, who actually designed Highland Park and Kessler Park. And Kessler Park, the topography was absolutely amazing. Highland Park, more flat, few trees. You know, you got the river down there or whatever. But the bottom line is this. Kessler Park is spectacularly beautiful. All of Oak Cliff is actually the most beautiful part of Dallas, Texas. For those who don't know.
It used to be its own little town before we were, absorbed into the city of Dallas. And it was quite the place to be, you know. And then things have happened over the years. And now, you know, sit where we are. And it's coming back. People are discovering that it's great to be down there. My neighborhood, you know, it has transitioned some, and folks are coming down and redoing all these houses that were built in the 50s and 60s. And man, you can just see the life coming back, and people with babies out walking, and you know, it's just nice to see the transition.
I tell you what's amazing, and is a great transition as well for people who don't understand the greatness of Keast Park. Keast Park, I taught my kids how to play tennis out on that tennis court. And we used to walk around all the way around Keast Park, and you see the kids playing, you know, baseball, and there's some softball games and soccer, and they just have so much going on at Keast Park, and it's absolutely beautiful.
It is a fantastic park. It's going into 4th of July weekend. I understand there used to be an amazing 4th of July celebration at Keast Park with fireworks and everything. I don't know what happened to it, but I certainly will champion in the ears of any council person whose attention I can get and getting that back, because it's indeed a beautiful park.
And you mentioned all the different parts of Oak Cliff. Just take a ride down Hampton. That's all I have to say. Just go start in I-30 or even north of I-30, just head south. You will go on an adventure up and down the hills, and just it's beautiful. And then again, that's one of the major arteries of Oak Cliff. We could go on and on and on, but let's talk some more about Heritage Oak Cliff itself. You guys have a number of projects. You just mentioned the big ceremony over at the Turner House a couple of days ago. Can you talk about some of the things you have planned for this summer leading into the Tour of Homes this October?
You know, we don't have a lot planned in the summer. We will have the home tour reveal party late summer, where we have everybody usually to the Texas Theater and reveal what tour, what homes are going to be on the tour. That'll be our next big hurrah. It's still been hot, man. We don't plan a lot during the summer.
You know what? Don't stop telling the truth around here, because it gets going to be 100 degrees. Everybody knows. If it's not 100 degrees right now, it will be the next day.
The car says it's 109 right now, which, you know, I guess that's the adult factor.
So how well do you work with the Oak Cliff Chamber of Commerce?
Keandra is one of my sweetest friends.
Yes, she is.
We don't do a lot together. So Donna Miller, who's the president of the Turner House Oak Cliff Society of Fine Arts, and Keandra and I, we go on cocktail dates and talk about, gosh, we're all in our own separate silos. How do we connect these organizations? And I got to say, we have not been as successful with that effort as I would like. We talked once upon a time of having like maybe one big overarching membership to all organizations. That got a little wonky on us. It's an ongoing conversation, and I'm certainly at Keandra's events, and she's at my events. But we don't have a lot of posters with both of our logos on them, which is what I'd like to see more of in the future.
So let's say this. You guys are taking care of all the different parts of Oak Cliff, so a lot of the things you do don't necessarily overlap, but you guys are all helping the area and making sure that all the different businesses that come to Dallas-Fort Worth are aware of what's going on with Oak Cliff, because there's so many people who move into town, they have no idea the different parts of town or what's going on.
Exactly right. And in my day job as a real estate agent, I'm always touting Oak Cliff. People, you know, will call up the office, I need to see houses. What part of town? Well, I think I want to be in Plano. I think I want to be in Carrollton.
How about
I drive you around my neighborhood and show you what's going on? Do you have kids? Do you not have kids? You know, where on this map might you fit? But I'm always showing off Oak Cliff. I'm just so darn proud of the place.
Okay, so let's look at this angle, because a lot of people don't even think about this. I mentioned that I used to live in Uptown, all right? I'm not the kind of person that goes north of LBJ all the time. I have to go up there for the Dallas Cowboys or something like that every now and then, but I have a fear of the tollway. I'm like, I'm going to get stuck on the tollway. So I rarely try to go north of LBJ. There's a lot of people whose jobs brought them to the center of Dallas. And there's a lot of people who either went to SMU, went to North Texas or wherever locally, maybe even El Centro, wherever. And they basically immediately either bought an apartment near downtown, in Uptown, or even Deep Ellum, wherever. They get a wife and some kids, and a lot of them wind up going to Oak Cliff. Am I wrong?
I don't know if a lot of them. If I'm involved in the conversation, it's certainly going to be an option. I think I'm seeing more and more people head up to Plano and Frisco, which just breaks my heart. But they've got some great amenities and business centers up there. Sometimes I get a little, I don't want to get fussy with what goes on downtown at City Hall, but sometimes they make it a little harder to do business in Dallas proper. And, mm-hmm. and I think we lose out on some projects and some people that head north, because maybe it's a little easier to do business sometimes. But damn it, if I'm involved in the conversation, sorry, cussing.
That's okay.
I'm certainly going to tout what's going on down here in the downtown business center and everything that's happening and what we have to offer in the way of schools and lifestyle and shopping and amenities. There's just so much going on.
And you also have a situation, and Keandra and I have talked about this as well. There are people who were born and raised in Oak Cliff, and either they run off to North Texas or not North Texas, North Dallas or Addison or Plano or Richardson or Frisco.
Yep.
Or they head south to DeSoto or Grand Prairie or Mansfield or, you know, just anywhere but where they grew up. How do you try to keep people in town in Oak Cliff who grew up and were raised in Oak Cliff?
It's small town syndrome. For instance, I grew up in Fort Worth. And when I grew up there, you could not wait to get out of that town. It was so tiny.
So you understand.
And I totally understand. Now, Fort Worth is an amazing town. I might move back there, someday. Who knows?
Sure.
But I think that's what happens. You just grow up in these little microcosms. It's like, I live across the street from my aunt and my uncle, and my mom lives over there. I gotta get out of here. And they wind up, yes, heading south to DeSoto or North Plano or maybe over to Grand Prairie or Las Colinas. Who knows? But, yeah, I'm seeing more and more people stick around. We still got a little stigma to live down. And I think people are starting to realize it's a really great place. And if you move here and get involved, you can be part of that change.
So let's talk. Whenever I talk to someone about Oak Cliff or talk to anybody about that part of town, we always have to talk about the I-35, 67 construction and what's the latest. What have you heard? Not that you're the official spokesperson for the Texas Department of Transportation, but what have you heard? Because it's looking more and more amazing, because I know what they're trying to do over there by the zoo. They're trying to make it like Woodall Rogers, where you have the park, Clyde Warren Park on top, and it's going to be just absolutely beautiful right there by the zoo. What have you heard, and can you paint some pictures for us?
I know they're fully funded on getting the first phase of the park done, and they're looking for money to finish out like with the tree planting and the grass and everything. The renderings I've seen, if you go on Southern Gateway, if you search Southern Gateway Park, you can see some amazing renderings of what's going to be going on there. I drive through there every day, and there are more and more lanes opening. I mean, it feels like there's 20 lanes going north and 20 lanes going south. So it's becoming more and more easy to get through there. And it's such a darn exciting project when they built I-35, it drew this big scar down the middle of Oak Cliff. And this is going to reunite the West with the East and just do amazing things to just bring those communities back together. Man.
Exactly.
And when you look at what's going on just around there, like Beckley Club Estates and up there and all that land east of 35 on up to Fair Park, that whole landscape is changing. So there's conversations about how do we not over gentrify and how do we manage the improvement. But overall, I am so darn excited about what's happening and how the home values are coming up over there. More and more people are taking interest in saving those old houses and putting them back together. And I can't wait to see how they're going to redo Fair Park and how that's going to, just kind of bridge the gap between what's going to be the new Southern Gateway Park and all that land in between there. It's going to be spectacular.
You mentioned Beckley, and I always, whenever I have to bring up something about Dallas-Fort Worth, the best hamburger by far is on Beckley Avenue. It is Wingfields. And I don't care what they do.
I'm not aware. I need to get over there immediately.
Yes, you got to get over there. Wingfields, every magazine, every website, bar none, it is the best hamburger in Dallas. Wingfields right off of Beckley. And by the way, they always have a long line out the front. It's like, it's kind of like Sonic. You can't go inside. You just have to just wait your turn. They get your order. And when they run out, just like a barbecue place, they run out. And you just get there, and I think, like I said, it might run out about 6 in the evening, 7 o'clock, but it's unbelievable. Wingfields on Beckley. We're talking to Travis Lee Moore. He's the president of Heritage Oak Cliff. We mentioned I-35-67, the construction, and it's getting bigger and better and looking really, really nice. There's a couple of other things you might have updates on. Everybody knows about Bishop Arts. It's like every weekend, good luck finding some parking spots because everybody comes into Bishop Arts. There's more to Oak Cliff than Bishop Arts. We talked about the different parts already, but I didn't bring up Jefferson Street. What's the latest on the development over there? Because it is absolutely one of the, first of all, it's legendary because that's where Lee Harvey Oswald went to the movie theater when they first captured him.
Yeah.
But the Texas Theater, but Jefferson Street, I mean, I remember, oh, maybe it was 8 years ago, Beyonce came into town to the concert. Her and Jay-Z rented out a restaurant over there, and all of a sudden it's like, wait a minute, that's the spot. So talk about Jefferson Street for a little bit.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Oh, that's why we talk, Travis. That's a little Mexican restaurant right off of it's East Jefferson Street before you get to 35. I can't think of it off at the top of my head, but everybody knows.
How cool. Man, I wish I'd have been at that.
Oh, everybody does. Like, wait a minute. How did they find out about this place? Yeah, it made the Dallas Morning News and the Dallas Observers like, wait a minute. Jay-Z and Beyonce went over to this restaurant on Jefferson Street. Like, what?
So, yeah, Jefferson, I mean, you see improvements all up and down. The store owners redoing their facades. And there's that pet shop on the corner of Zing and Jefferson that was there forever. It didn't have the best reputation. Mm-hmm. Somebody bought it, and I hear that it's going to become lofts. So that's exciting. They peeled all the stucco off of it, and you can now see the original brick exterior with all the old painted ads on the side.
Mm-hmm.
So that's happening. That whole intersection is kind of transforming. Gosh, I haven't heard any official updates out of the city or any development about development up and down Jefferson, but you can see things improving and different vendors and merchants moving in and taking pride in what's going on up and down there.
Speaking of Zang, let's go further south. Wynwood Village. Have you heard anything new about that area?
They were blowing and going before the pandemic. There were plans. They opened a new LA Fitness. I'm a member.
Yes.
I need to get in there more often. They had a theater, and I can't remember the name of the darn place. It was a bilingual theater where they would show movies in Spanish and English. It was a big project for them. I think the pandemic put the kibosh on it because the land is just sitting there now.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen them refacing a lot of the storefronts and different vendors moving in and whatnot. That Kroger is still there. It's still kicking. I think I've seen them improve their business a little bit.
Oh, and down the street, Ann's is still doing business. Ann's Health Supplies, yeah.
Yep. And you've got, there's no shortage of hair supplies and braids, you betcha. Then you've got El Rancho there. But Wynwood, I'm in and out of there all the time. That dollar store, that Dollar Tree, I'm in there buying balloons for open houses every week.
That is the hookup right there. And by the way, there are beautiful homes right behind Wynwood Village in that area. It's like, wow.
Wynwood,
it's like a big
secret.
One of the
most popular neighborhoods. Yeah, Wynwood.
You get the bang for your buck. You're a real estate agent. You get your bang for your buck over there.
Well, it seems like the rest of the country has kind of discovered us because our values are coming up to match maybe what they would be in similar neighborhoods around the country. We're still a pretty great value, but we've come up some from what we, what you used to could buy for $500 in Wynwood is now $8. It's the value's going up.
That is fantastic. And finally, we mentioned, the 35 and near the zoo. Have you heard anything new about the Dallas Zoo?
The zoo, I know they've got a great summer concert series going. My buddy Harrison runs the zoo over there. They had a few problems with the giraffes there for a little while. I think they've weathered that and come out on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
There's always great stuff going on at the zoo, and I'm really excited to see how the new deck park is going to affect the business there and how that gateway brings more people in and how more things are going on at that zoo. We have a fantastic zoo, and I don't think it gets as much publicity and notice as it should.
Yes, sir. It's one of the best. Fort Worth Zoo is one of the best in the nation. I swear to God, yep. Dallas Zoo is so underrated, and it is a nice little getaway spot. Like I said, I used to have my kids out there all the time. They had a couple of birthday parties out there as well. We're talking about the greatness of Oak Cliff with Travis Lee Moore, the president of Heritage Oak Cliff. And before we get out of here, Travis, I don't know if you've done this yet or not, but at Bishop Arts, they have a trolley that goes into downtown Dallas over by the train station. Have you ridden that trolley yet? Because I rode it. I took the kids over there, and we rode the trolley with my wife. It is absolutely beautiful, and it's a fun ride, and it's something different to do, especially in the summertime. On a hot day, you're like, wait a minute, what can we do? Ride the trolley. Have you done that yet? I don't know if you had yet.
It is absolutely. It's one of my favorite outings, just to drive the car over there, park by the trolley.
Yep.
Take the trolley downtown, go to the AT&T Discovery Zone, go just run around downtown because there's so much going on. We have so much happening in Dallas. And that trolley connects Bishop Arts, and you get down to the train station, or it can drop you right there at the side of the levee. And more people need to ride that darn thing because it's a great amenity.
Exactly. Hey, Travis, it's a pleasure visiting with you. We've got to have you on again real soon, maybe in time for the tour of the homes, okay?
I would love to be back anytime.
All right. He's Travis Lee Moore, the president of Heritage Oak Cliff.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously. But shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And joining us now is Latasha Heron-Bruff. She is the Senior Vice President of Inclusion and Community Engagement with the Dallas Greater Chamber. How you doing, Latasha?
I am doing well, Chris. How are you?
I am fine. Maybe I should just say congratulations to the Greater Dallas Chamber. Can you talk about the big accolades from the executives?
Oh, well, yes. So we recently have been named one of the top three chambers in the nation. And so that's an incredible honor for us. But I think it really speaks to the work that this chamber is doing in the region, just like so many other great chambers around the country, really focus at how we really become heart healthy and how we really make sure that our region is strong. So just not some of our region, but all of our region. So we're building that region today that we want to see tomorrow. And I think all of the work that we do in economic development and public policy and education and diversity, equity, and inclusion, all of that is a culmination of, I think, why we have such a great recognition. And then our leadership and our staff, I get to work with some incredible, amazingly talented people every day that really move this region forward.
You know, it's amazing. All the different chambers, I think one of the main things they do is they connect the newer businesses, whether they're large corporations or small businesses, that move into the areas and the people who work for those organizations, because they may not know where they want to live or they may not know what's going on in that particular city, especially a Dallas-Fort Worth area that's so large. Dallas is very large. So I like the fact that the region is covered so well. Can you talk about that aspect of what you do?
Yeah, that's probably the crown jewel of this chamber, is that we have great economic development professionals. We have a whole economic development team that is built around how do we bring companies and people to the region. I mean, I'll tell you, DFW right now is the fourth largest metro in the U.S.
Yes.
So New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago are in front of us. But I'll tell you, Chris, they're saying by 2030, DFW could easily pass Chicago as the third largest U.S. metro area. And so they're predicting by 2040, we could have anywhere from 10.9 million people living in DFW. So to your point, people are moving here all the time, every single day. And one of the things that we do is we talk to companies, large and small. We talk to people about the best assets of our region. What are the best assets, right? And that what makes us a great place to live and work and do business. So that's really at the heart of a lot of work that we do, and probably why so many great companies have chosen to relocate here. In the last, you know, DFW is home to major U.S. companies, right? So 24 Fortune 500 companies have their headquarters right here in DFW. And then there's 6 Fortune 500 that have moved here just since 2016. So you have Jacobs, McKesson, AECOM, CBRE, Charles Schwab, Caterpillar. These are giant companies that are moving here. But you mention small business, which we cannot discount, because small business really makes our communities happen, right?
And exactly.
So whether you're large, mid-sized, or small, we are all about how do we grow the entire region? How do we make sure that the entire region has the resources that everyone needs?
Now, you mentioned small business. We always hear about the big name corporations that move down here, whether it's Amazon or Uber or back in the day, ExxonMobil.
Sure.
But small businesses move here too. Can you talk about not only the small businesses that are created in Dallas-Fort Worth, but the ones that just say, you know what, I think I'm going to leave Waco and move to Dallas, or I'm going to leave Kansas City and move to Dallas. How do you embrace them, and how do you connect with them?
Look, I'm going to tell you how I embrace them. I embrace them so that I had one in my home this weekend, because there was a lady who called me on the phone, Chris, and she left me a message and said, I just relocated my business. She's a small bridal designer. She owns a bridal salon. She was the first Black bridal salon in the state of Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
She wanted to grow her business. She moved to New York, grew her business, but then she came here for a visit. And she said, I love Dallas, and I love the business climate of Dallas. And she moved her business to Dallas and just opened her salon this week as a small business business owner. But she just said she loved the business climate. She loved the accessibility. She loved, you know, the landscape of Dallas and all that Dallas and the Dallas region had to offer her. And she knew that this is where she wanted to plant and grow her business. And all of the available resources, and I think that's one thing that we also do incredibly well, is connecting people
yes.
to the resources that they need to either start or scale their business, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or pivot, move their business in an entirely different direction. Wherever you are on that spectrum, we have a way to assist you.
And you
and
mentioned,
so I didn't tell you, I invited that woman into my home because she's from Mississippi and my parents are from Mississippi and they happen to be from the same town. So I invited
what little
her to
town?
Come over. Yeah.
What town? Jackson?
Yes. 60 miles south of Jackson is a small town called Prentice, Mississippi.
Look at
and a lot of people probably wouldn't have heard of that. But she happened to be from the same town that my parents were from. So we were having our family reunion this weekend, and I said, well, come on over. But she is someone that said yes to Dallas, and I was excited to learn about her business. So to your point, large and small are choosing DFW as their place of home.
Okay, so this is so wild to me. You know, Dak Prescott, quarterback for the Cowboys, he went to Mississippi
yes.
State. I actually grew up in Memphis, Tennessee. And so everybody
wow.
who lives, and that borders the state of Mississippi.
Yes.
And everybody always want to claim they're from Memphis, it's North Mississippi. And you know when I say this, because your parents grew up in Mississippi.
Yes.
Y'all don't even call it Mississippi. Y'all call it M-I, crooked letter I, crooked letter I, humpback
that's
I.
That's right. That's right. That's
oh, that's
right.
too
right.
funny. That is too funny. But yeah, that just shows you so many people are moving to this area. And like you said, small business, large business, middle business, major corporation, everybody's got a reason for loving this particular region. We're talking with Latasha Heron-Bruff. She is the Senior Vice President of Inclusion and
right.
Community Engagement. And that's like that's a big title. Can you talk about what
yeah.
you feel like your job description is? And by the way, it's so good talking to you because you and I have been knowing each other for years.
Yes, yes. Well, Chris, you know, you and I talk all the time, and the last time I was Senior Vice President of Community Engagement, and I worked closely with our DEI efforts here
mm-hmm.
at the Chamber, and we lost one of our colleagues, and he moved on, and he was a really important part of our work, and the Chamber said, Tasha, I think you could take it on and merge it all into one department, and so we did, but we changed the name to Inclusion and Community Engagement. And one of the reasons why we wanted to prioritize inclusion, it wasn't to diminish diversity or equity, but we really wanted to show prominence to how do we, if we can make people feel included and like they belong, and if we could do that in our workplaces, if we can increase inclusivity in our neighborhoods and our communities, diversity will come, equity will come, all of those things will be built. But we have to really prioritize being inclusive, right? And,
mm-hmm.
and that's what's missing is that sense of inclusivity. We can count the numbers of how many diverse people we have sitting around a boardroom, but if people don't feel like their voice matters, and if they're heard, and if they're included, it doesn't really matter, right? So we have to be about the business of making sure that from the boardroom to our employees to the community, that there is a thread of inclusivity that's there. And so we're prioritizing that. And we're moving from, you know, just moving around DEI initiatives, but also how do we build a DEI culture? And that is internally and externally. So part of my work is, you know, what are those DEI efforts that we want to prioritize and advance with our member companies and with the business community, but also how do we direct that energy to be actionable things that we can see reflected in the community? So how do we bring grocery stores into underrepresented and underserved communities, right?
Mm-hmm.
How do we build stronger education for and preparing students for the jobs for tomorrow, right? How do we start that today? So those are things, initiatives that we may build internally, but it has to live externally. So it's a marriage between DEI and community engagement where both of those things could mutually reinforce each other.
I can see it going hand in hand, and the inclusion part of the department, it kind of goes with our friend Sint Marshall, the CEO of the Mavericks, likes to say. She likes to say diversity is being invited to the party, and inclusion is being invited to dance.
That's right. And I love that you quote Sint, because she's a really great friend of mine, and she is part of our Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Counselor here at the Chamber. So, you know, we get her insight and her energy in the work that we're doing. But you're absolutely right. It's we can have people here, but we have to get people involved. You know, people always say the community, having a seat at the table. Well, when we're talking to the community and we're going into the community, it's their table, right? So we need to make sure that they're part of what we want to build with them, not for them, not doing things to them, but building things with the community and creating a better environment for our entire region.
We're talking with Latasha Heron-Bruff. She is the Senior Vice President of Inclusion and Community Engagement with the Greater Dallas Regional Chamber. And you were talking about, you know, since the pandemic, and we know we're on the backside of it, thank goodness. And a lot of people made a pivot. I'm looking at all these different high-rise buildings, especially in downtown Dallas. You got them all over Dallas-Fort Worth, but I'm looking at all the high-rise buildings. Can you talk about, are some of these buildings empty? I'm talking about the pivot, because a lot of people were working from home. Can you talk about some of the things you've heard about the direction of business and, you know, are people not going to the high rises anymore? Are they back to being in the high rises? What's going on?
Well, I think there's a mix. You know, there are some companies that, you know, have really said, look, how are we providing a better quality of life for our employees? And the pandemic has wreaked havoc on a lot of us, a lot of our communities, a lot of people. We've had a lot of loss during this time. But I do think businesses have had the opportunity to really say, are we doing, how can we do better, right? Mm-hmm. And how do we learn to grow out of this pandemic? And there are lots of companies that have said, listen, you know, we're going to create this hybrid situation where our employees can work 2 days a week in the office and 3 days from home, or we're going to go to all remote positions. There are some businesses that have certainly pivoted and done that as well. But we do see a lot of companies that have their workforce back into the office, but they've made some adjustments, right? I don't know that we ever will be like we were prior to the pandemic, right? There's so much we've learned how to conduct events and do meetings and work with our teams all virtually. And a lot of companies have really shown high productivity, lower cost, right, of doing business by having people remote. So there have been some advantages, I think, in the workplace. And not all of the buildings are empty as I sit here in one of those high-rise buildings in downtown, but there are some companies that have said, you know, we're going to really take the time to explore what's best for our company, but also what's best for our employees. So I think that that's an advantage coming out of something over the last almost, you know, 2 years, and how we can do better, and how we can do better by our employees, which are our greatest asset, our people. So we should be listening to them and how we pivot as organizations.
As a matter of fact, I think you struck a nerve, because I think more and more corporations have found out that their employees feel like they have more power. They want to have an interesting lifestyle, especially Gen Z. They want to have an interesting life, more so than just a regular 9-to-5 job, and necessarily grow with that company if that company's not doing what they want them to do.
Well, Chris, you know, and not only just working, you know, my work hours, what I've learned about our next generation and our current generation of employees and workforce, they also want to be connected to what are we doing in the community?
Yes.
How are you giving back as a company? You know, how socially responsible are we as an organization? And we're finding that the workforce is asking those questions when they are looking for employment. They want to be connected to companies that are actually having a voice in the issues that impact so many of us. So out of these 2 years, you know, from George Floyd, right, to the pandemic, how we respond to our region in times of crisis and what are we doing that's actionable are what people who want to work for us, they want to see, they want to feel part of it, right?
Yes.
And so not only do they want to know, do you have remote positions? Can I, you know, work from home? But they also want to know, what do you stand for as a company? And so those are things that I am certainly seeing as we, like you said, come on the other side of this pandemic that we've been in for so long.
Exactly. Business is evolving, and people know that the greatest asset a business has is their employees. It's not the presidents and the CEOs. It's the people who do the legwork. And we mentioned how business is evolving. And I said a little earlier that Uber is locating, I guess their headquarters is over in Deep Ellum. I think that's where they're building it. But can you talk about the gig economy and how a lot of, especially Gen Z and Gen X and younger people are utilizing that way of doing business because that frees up their time?
Well, Chris, when you and I were growing up, I mean, it was you go to work, you get a job, and you stay on that job for, you know, 30 years, right? And, and especially the generation before us, like our parents' generation.
Right, the boomers.
You certainly go to work and you retire from that job. You know, we have a generation that's coming up that in this gig economy that sees that they can be artists, they can be entrepreneurs, they can be, you know, they can live out their dreams.
Yeah.
And also have employment that doesn't necessarily look like a 9-to-5 job, but offers them a way to make a honest living, good income. And so I think, you know, we see that being attractive to a lot of younger people in the workforce, and not even just younger people in the workforce. I had the other day a retired professional person that took me to the airport, and he said, you know, I'm too young to be at home, right?
Yeah, he wants to drive.
Yes, and he wants to drive. And he loves it because he gets to meet people, he's making money, and he can do it on his own time. So all of those things are very attractive. And you're right, that is a part of the landscape in which we see when we talk about business and why business is growing. And you can certainly see why Uber would want to move to Dallas and DFW and the rate in which we are growing as a region. I mean, just alone, I'll tell you, you talk about the pandemic, DFW exceeds the combined net job gains of the next four large U.S. regions.
Wow.
So you have DFW, Atlanta, Phoenix, Miami, and Houston. DFW through 2019 and 2022 added 283,000 new jobs. That's through the pandemic. Right. So will you see lots of losses in a lot of the other big regions? We were gaining. So that tells you a little bit about the landscape of our region and why you see so many of those companies finding Dallas as DFW as a great region to relocate.
You know, being part of the Greater Dallas Regional Chamber, you have some insight on things that may be coming ahead. In other words, you're not just looking at the past. You're seeing the growth. You're seeing different businesses moving here. Sometimes you have a heads up, oh, so-and-so's moving into town, or this part of town is actually going to explode because of the job that's going to be created, or these restaurants are going to be here. It's almost like saying, okay, they're about to build a stadium over here. Get ready. The economic impact for this whole area, or even when they announced that the World Cup was coming to Arlington, oh, my goodness, you got this economic impact. So, Latasha, you are in a position where you know some things, how they could possibly project. Let's talk about Go ahead. Go ahead and answer that question. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say we do. It's a wonderful position to be in because it's exciting to really be part of that work. But it's really probably led me more of our economic development team. That's led by the wonderful Mike Rosa. Anyone who is a part of the business climate knows Dale Petrosky, who's our CEO,
yes.
And Mike Rosa, who's our head of economic development. And they do, you know, they're working hundreds of different projects at any one time, and most of them are incredibly confidential, of course, because they have to be. But that's their work, is to talk to companies that are interested in relocating or expanding their business into the region. So it is incredibly exciting to be a part of that movement, and especially when you see the region growing like it is.
Mm-hmm.
I can say we're extremely busy.
I can imagine. Now, let's go ahead and look at the southern part of Dallas, because
there's
so many people that say, oh, this is an opportunity. It's an opportunity. Mm-hmm. What are some of the things in the southern area of Dallas that you have an eye on?
Well, I'll tell you, Chris, and you know this, you've been in this a long time, and you know the region well. You know, you heard me talk about all the statistics of how strong our region is and how it's growing, mm-hmm. and people are moving here. But, you know, our region is a tale of two halves, right?
So right. You have divided by the Mixmaster and the I-30.
I-30.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have that northern half that has really experienced a lot of the growth and the recent growth and wealth that has come to our region. And then you have below I-30, which is, I'm born and raised below I-30. I'm an Oak Cliff girl, mm-hmm. Southern Dallas girl, so I know this all too well. Well, we don't quite see the same rate of growth. We don't see the same distribution of wealth. And there are, you know, larger disparities there. But at the same time, we do see Southern Dallas County as a place of growth, opportunity, and investment, because there are really fantastic businesses and organizations that call Southern Dallas County home. And so one of our initiatives in our community investment work is to really help people see Southern Dallas County differently. And part of that work is to prioritize jobs. So we want companies to think about relocating or expanding their footprint into Southern Dallas County.
Mm-hmm.
And so we created this website called the Southern Dallas Economic Development Guide. It's very much like our economic development guide that we do. This one is all about Southern Dallas County. You can see it at southerndallascounty.com. And this website is a resource and a tool for site selectors, for the business community, for real estate brokers, but also for the community to know who's coming to Southern Dallas
mm-hmm.
County, what's being built, right? What companies are growing and calling Southern Dallas County home, right? Where are the jobs, right? One of the things that we show on the website is we show the large amount of residents that drive 45 minutes to an hour north for work. So if I'm a business and I'm looking to relocate my business, I would probably plant a business in Southern Dallas County, because there's a huge pipeline of workers that exist there that are leaving where they live
mm-hmm.
to go to work an hour away. So we talk about, you know, the colleges and the universities that are there. We have the fastest growing public college in the state, in UNT Dallas, located in Southern Dallas.
That's
County,
right.
Right? So we have Paul Quinn College, right?
Mm-hmm.
An HBCU that's right there in Southern Dallas County. And then we talk about DeSoto, Cedar Hill, Duncanville, Lancaster, Wilmer, all of those municipalities, about 12
County.
Of them. That make up Southern Dallas
mm-hmm.
County. So we really want to prioritize business and growth into that region. We're talking to a lot of companies about how they can realize themselves in Southern Dallas County. And we take them on vision tours where they see the economic development projects that are happening, like Southern Gateway Deck Park that's happening. So we introduce them to the idea that they can be a catalyst for change if they can bring their business and good-paying jobs to the region. So that's a big focus of the work that we're doing.
Can you give me some insight on the latest on the Redbird development over there? Because they've been working on that a while, and I've talked to some of the different people involved. I haven't talked to them in the past few months, so maybe you have some new insight on where they are with that, because a lot of people are excited about that growth area.
Well, I'm excited about it. You know, I told you that used to be my stomping ground as a kid. And
everybody used to go to Redbird Mall.
Everybody. And I was talking to somebody that was on one of my bus tours, and they were from Houston. They said, Tasha, when I would come here for the summer, my parents would drop me off at Redbird Mall, too. It was an anchor for the community. And now Peter Brodsky and Terrence Maiden have really this project that they're developing is really going to be a game changer for the community. When you talk about catalytic projects, this is a model for that, because you have UT Southwestern Parkland that's opening up in Redbird Mall. You talk about Chime Solutions, that is
Chime
call center there that's employing about 1,500 people in Redbird Mall. I mean, it's going to be a mix of not only retail, but also office space, right? And and you have the DEC at Redbird, which is the Dallas Entrepreneur Center, that's incubating and helping young entrepreneurs grow their business. So it is a wonderful time for this development to be coming along right now at the right time. And then, you know, I'll tell you, there's a Starbucks that sits there. This tells
you
a lot about the community. You know, there were years ago when they think a Starbucks wouldn't make it in Southern Dallas County in the heart of Oak Cliff. But that Starbucks is the number 3 producing Starbucks out of 176 stores across the region.
You know, I was there for the grand opening, Latasha, and they had big plans, and I knew it was going to work out. I was like, this is a great idea, and they wanted to be one of the first businesses at Redbird.
And they are doing amazingly well. And one of the reasons why they are, Chris, is because they thought about the community first. And that's how Peter and Terrence have thought about this project. They didn't just plop down a project and said, this is what we're going to do. They spent years talking to the community about what the community wants. What is their desires for their neighborhood and their community? And so they have taken those ideas, and that is what you see being birthed right now. And so that is so important for developers and people who have these ideas of how they can come into communities. You have to do it the right way, and the right way is making them a part of this work, and they've done that successfully. So as restaurants and businesses and new facilities open up on that campus, it's going to be fantastic. And if you haven't seen it, people should go by there, stop by there, and see the incredible work that's happening.
Yes, it's absolutely amazing. We're talking with Latasha Heron-Bruff. She's the Senior Vice President of Inclusion and Community Engagement with the Dallas Regional Chamber. And Latasha, what's coming up? Southern Dallas County Visions Tour, State of DEI, September 13th. Tell me some of the things coming up that we can look forward to.
Yeah, well, we continue to have our Southern Dallas County Vision Tours, and, you know, I know you all are, you know, really have the ear of the business community. So if there are businesses and organizations that want to learn more about Southern Dallas County and how you can realize your work, your mission, how you can influence the growth of our region so we can all be strong in Southern Dallas County, I would love to be able to host those Vision Tours for you or for individuals that are interested in really making change. You can go to our website, dallaschamber.org, and you can click on our community engagement tab and see all about it, or our diversity, equity, inclusion tab, and you can see all about it. We do have our State of DEI that's coming up September 13th.
Mm-hmm.
It is going to be a wonderful event at the AT&T Performing Arts Center. We are going to be talking about the State of DEI in the DFW region. So this is for, you know, anybody interested in diversity, equity, and inclusion work, whether you have that in your title or you don't, you know, whether you are fully engaged in it or you want to be better engaged in it, this is the event for you. We're going to have fantastic speakers from some really big companies from around the region. We'll have some very special guests. It's going to be a great event. If you want to, you can go to dallaschamber.com and buy tickets and get more information. September 13th, you'll want to grab tickets as soon as you can, because I'm sure that we are going to sell out.
Oh, yes, for sure. Now, you know, this is 4th of July weekend, and I don't know
yes.
if you have anything at your fingertips. I will give you a chance. 4th of July weekend, what are some of the things that we can look forward to, especially Monday night, the fireworks? Because, again, we're on the backside of this pandemic. People are out and about more. They're actually able to get together, even outdoors. It's like, okay, yeah, we can get together. Maybe we can watch the fireworks. Maybe we can go somewhere. There's a picnic. We already know people are going to barbecue. We already know about the barbecue rules. You go to somebody's barbecue, you better not pack off too many plates. There's a limit. You just don't go overboard. And I always like
That's
to say
right.
this, too. If you go to a barbecue or a cookout and you don't know what to bring, and you say, I don't know if I should bring some sides or what, bring some red cups and some ice. You can never
exactly.
go wrong.
That's right.
Just
That's
stop
right.
at the stop at a 7-Eleven and get some ice.
Yeah, agreed. Don't strike out with the potato salad or anything like that.
Yeah, be careful.
Be on the safe side. Take the ice. Take the cups.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's always a safe. Take a can of soda. That's always a great,
exactly.
great thing. Easy.
Oh, and yeah. one other thing. If they are doing the barbecuing in the backyard, don't tell the person who's doing the cooking how to cook their barbecue.
Yeah,
save
right.
it for
that's
a later
right.
date. Different conversation. You were invited over their house. You the guest, you not the one to try to tell them how to cook their barbecue, even if you think there's a better way. Not right there, not right now.
Out of order.
Out of order.
Completely out of order. And I know you're a sports guy, flag on the play, right?
Exactly.
We will
throw some red flags right there, some yellow laundry right there. No, don't tell somebody how to throw their barbecue when they invited you over.
That's right. But you ask about 4th of July.
Yes.
I do know Monday, July 4th, Fair Park. If we get, you know, Fair Park
Ooh, yes.
is a, it has just been a center of the South Dallas community, and it's undergoing revitalization
mm-hmm.
where they are really working with the community to expand the park, bring more of the community into the park. And they're having a celebration on the 4th starting at 4:30. So they're going to have fireworks. You can bring your lawn chairs. It's going to be great. So I would, if I had to give an endorsement or support an event on 4th of July, I would say take your family out to Fair Park. They're going to be doing it big.
That sounds fantastic. And again, how can people catch up with you or catch up with anyone with the Dallas Regional Chamber again? That information, please.
Yes. Yes, sure. I am. You can get me at Dallas Regional Chamber or dallaschamber.org. And if you want to call me, you can see me on the website. You can click on how to reach out to me directly, but dallaschamber.org or dallasregionalchamber.org, either one will get you to our website.
And be careful out there. It's going to be 100 degrees, a lot of days this summer. So any advice for anybody trying to be outside in the Dallas-Fort Worth area? Just be careful.
I was going to say be careful. Stay in. Yeah, if it gets too hot, I think one of the things, Chris, we need to listen to our bodies. I think sometimes we ignore them.
Mm-hmm.
And usually you get signs when you're too hot. Just listen to your body.
All right, LaTosha Heron-Brough, she's the Senior Vice President of Inclusion and Community Development at the Dallas Regional Chamber. Also want to thank our guest, Travis Lee Moore, President of the Heritage Oak Cliff. I'm Chris Arnold of 105.3 The Fan, thanking you for joining me and telling everybody to be safe out there this holiday weekend with the fireworks. Tune in next week as we focus on other organizations and people doing great things in our community right here on Better Living. So long, everybody.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.